بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي Respected ulama, beloved students, and my respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, with the grace of Allah, with His mercy, students have toiled throughout 6 years, 7 years of study, and are now come to the completion of their studies. And as members of the public, we need to understand that we only see them for the day, sitting in front of us, reading the final ahadith or some ahadith on this day. However, what we don't realize is that the time, the effort, the energy, the dedication, the steadfastness with which these students have studied is extensive. We usually have a normal working day of 9 to 5, but these students will have studied day and night. They will have got up in the morning and started studying after the Fajr prayer, and many a time they will have studied on the weekends as well. And this is through their dedication, through their steadfastness, through their efforts. And the other, the etiquette with which they have studied is unlike the manner of studying in colleges and universities. They are required to sit with respect. They are required to sit on the floor. And they are required not to converse and not to misbehave in class, in the presence of their teachers, and even in the absence of their teachers. And this is very much unlike studying in colleges and universities. And the reason for this is that this is the ilm of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We become emotional on a day like this, but the truth of the matter is this should be our emotion throughout the whole year. And we need to remember that the love and the respect that we have upheld in these lessons, we need to uphold that love and that respect for the rest of our lives. It's very important. Many people graduate every year throughout the globe. But unfortunately, the situation is many become distant, many lose track, and become lost in society. And hence, for that reason, I was thinking on the lines of reading some ahadith on the topic of good character. And in fact, I had those thoughts and I called upon a colleague and I said, what should I talk about? And subhanAllah, he said exactly the same thing, good character, respect for elders. Khair, we shall read the riwayah written by Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi in his Sahih. We also need to understand that approximately 40,000 ahadith are studied by these students. And that is a very small portion and fraction of what ahadith are present or were present. Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi was known to have a collection of over 300,000 ahadith with the entire chain of narrators, the entire chain of transmission from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to himself. And when he collated and collected the ahadith, when he abridged the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning he only wrote a small portion from that collection of 300,000. He wrote only 12,000 ahadith in his book. And from that, a great number of thousand are just repeats, ahadith, meaning that it's the same hadith but with a different chain of transmission. From there, that the efforts, the dedication, the steadfastness with which our ulama studied. Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi, just one example. To collect 300,000 ahadith, he will have spent an entire lifetime. We study for 6 years, but within those 6 years, we only spend 1 year in reading 40,000 ahadith. And also, when we read those 40,000 ahadith, we do so like the Huffaz in Taraweeh, that they read through the Qur'an at a speed to complete the recitation of the Qur'an, quite often not knowing and not understanding what they've read. So this is 40,000 in 1 year. Imagine studying 300,000 ahadith with the entire chain of transmission for each and every single one. And let alone that, Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi's knowledge was so great that he also knew of the lives of the narrators of hadith. We don't even know that. That's the only way he then decided which ahadith to put in his book and which ahadith not to put. That was one part of it, one element of it. So we need to spend our entire lifetime reading and studying ahadith. If our a'imma did it, we also need to do it. Unfortunately, the situation has now become that in many places the transmission has stopped or has been reduced. So now they have abridged versions of the books, the Siha Sitta, of the 6 authentic books of hadith. Now they have come up with abridged versions of those, removing the repetitions, and hence the number of ahadith read are a lot less. So it's very important, my beloved students, to make sure that not just for one day, not just for 1 month, not just for a few months, or not even for just 1 year. Make it a rule that the same way we recite the Quran, we should recite the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We should read it riwayatan. Whether we understand each and every single word or not, read it. Remember that by reading the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our aslaf, our predecessors, our a'imma of hadith, whose books we read, the authors of the Siha Sitta, also say that when we read the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are actually in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are fortunate that Allah, from the billions of people in this globe that have come and gone and that are alive, Allah has chosen a very small fraction to be part of that chain of transmission, to be connected to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam through the reading of these ahadith. So we should not forsake it. Beloved students, don't forsake the reading of hadith. Make it a rule that even if I read one hadith per day, I shall read it and I shall continue with that, but with due respect, in the state of wudu, in a respectful manner, not whilst browsing on one's mobile phone. Just imagine that we are in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah has chosen us to be in his presence, although not his physical presence, but definitely his spiritual presence. We are fortunate to be part of that. And uphold that link, uphold that spirituality. How? By adopting the correct character that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us. Let us read this hadith and then I shall explain. وبالإسناد المتصل منا إلى الإمام أبي الحسين مسلم بن الحجاج بن مسلم بن القشيري النيسابوري رحمه الله قال حدثني محمد بن حاتم بن ميمون قال حدثنا ابن مهدي عن معاوية بن صالح عن عبد الرحمن بن جبير بن نفير عن أبيه عن النواس بن سمعان الأنصاري قال سألت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن البر والإثم فقال البر حسن الخلق والإثم ما حاك في صدرك وكرهت أن يطلع عليه الناس. You may be wondering that you have got your kutub in front of you and I've got a different kitab in front of me. But the kitab I have in front of me is called Jami'ul Kutub. So it has all the kutub in one. One of our a'imma, and unfortunately this is our situation, one of our imams, either Imam Abu Yusuf or Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi alayh, mentions about their ilm. They say, علمي معي حيثما يممت ينفعني. علمي معي حيثما يممت ينفعني. That my knowledge is with me. حيثما يممت, wherever I intend and wherever I أينما حيثما يممت أي قصدت. That wherever I intend to go, it benefits me. قلبي وعاء له لا بطن صندوقي. That my heart is the container, wi'a means container, of my ilm, not the stomach and not the inside of my suitcase or my box. In kuntu fil bayti kana al-ilmu fihi ma'i, that when I am in the house, the ilm is in there with me. Wa in kuntu fi suqi kana al-ilmu fi suqi, that when I am in the market, the ilm is with me in the market. And this is what we need to strive to achieve. Unfortunately, we have turned extremely weak. And it's not because we are weak. It's because we have stopped trying to sort of memorize and acquire the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's very important. Our teacher Mufti Shabir Sahib Damat Barakatuh mentioned once that at least to learn one hadith with the entire chain of transmission from oneself to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at least do that. But if you can, learn as many ahadith as you possibly can. And the only way you can achieve it, and the only way we can all achieve it, is by repeatedly reading the riwayat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on a daily basis. And inshallah, Allah will grant us the ilm of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah will put it into our hearts. Khair, in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it mentions here that Nawas ibn Sam'an al-Ansari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, I asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about birr and ithm. Now what exactly is al-birr? The word birr has numerous meanings to it. Simultaneously, the word birrun means as-silatu, which means to connect, to join, and in this case it will refer to the connecting and joining and maintaining of family ties. It also means al-lutfu, to be kind, to be friendly. It also means al-mabarratu, which means to do a charitable act, an act of charity, to do a good deed. So that is also birr. It also means husnu suhbah, to be good in your companionship of others, with others. It also means al-ishra, association with others and companionship. And one more meaning of it is at-ta'a, to be obedient and to be dutiful. And that's why, depending on where the word birrun is used, it applies a different meaning. For example, if we read Birrul Walidain, quite a number of these meanings will apply. It will also mean to be kind, to be friendly to one's parents. It will also mean to keep good the company with them. It will also mean to be obedient and to be dutiful to them. So all of these meanings will apply simultaneously when you say the word birrul walidain. To be dutiful, to be friendly, to be kind, to be good to one's parents. And in fact, where in the hadith it mentions kalbirru husnul khuluq, it means that a person birr, because Nawas ibn Saman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is birr? How exactly should we do birr towards others? How exactly is it applied? And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained in a very simple way, very brief, very concise, but very comprehensive in terms of its meaning. And this is min jawami al-kalim. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, birr is good character. Now again, with regards to good character, we restrict the meaning of good character quite often. We limit the meaning of good character. Quite often, if you talk about good character, it's about a person's behavior towards others. Whereas good character is not only a person's behavior towards others, good character is also our obedience to Allah. A simple example and a simple way to understand it is that if a person refuses to perform salah or does not perform salah, that is rebellion, that is inad, that is not good character. But you see, quite often people don't realize it. People think that, oh, I haven't performed my salah, but I'm quite good with everyone else. I say hello to everyone. I meet everyone in a friendly and nice manner. I've got a very good character. Whereas that is not the case. Good character is also making sure that we are dutiful to Allah, we are obedient to Allah, we are obedient to His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is also husnul khuluq. In fact, the definition of husnul khuluq is so vast, that Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha mentions about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that she used to say, ke kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's character was the Qur'an. Now, we may wonder that how exactly does that apply? Where the Qur'an mentions that, for example, if you start from Suratul Baqarah, we say, or rather, we start from Suratul Fatiha and we say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen means all praise is for Allah. All praise is for Allah. I quite often avoid translating it as all praise be to Allah, because when we say all praise be to Allah, not sure whether I'm incorrect, but it seems more jumla du'a'iyya to me, that may the praise be for Allah, whereas that is not the case. This is ikhbar. Alhamdulillah is ikhbar. It's informing you that all praise is for Allah. And at the same time, according to Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayh, Alhamdulillah means it's a jumla in sha'iyya. Again, the translation is the same, all praise is for Allah, but here the difference between ikhbariya and khabariya and insha'iyya is that khabariya is when Allah informs others, okay, look, all praise belongs to me. All praise is mine and hence praise me. Allah is saying it. But when it's jumla insha'iyya, then it's a bit like how you've read about insha'iyya, that jumla insha'iyya is a sentence that cannot be true nor false, meaning you cannot put a claim onto it either way. Rather, it is a statement that stands as it is. And I'll give you the example of it, that you can only put a claim of true or false on something that has passed, that this is true or this is untrue. With regards to Jumla Insha'iyya, you can't put a claim either way. A simple example of it is, let's say for example, you're carrying out a transaction. You say, Bi'tu, I have sold this product to you. The other person says, Ishtaritu, I have purchased this product. Now when a person says that, that's a transaction done. There's no such thing as, no one can put a claim to it and say, this is true. No one ever says about it, this is false. It's just there, it's reality. It's the case. Okay? So the statement of this is true or this is false cannot be applied to it. Okay? Similarly, Alhamdulillah is all praises for Allah. It's a statement that is there that you cannot put a claim of it being true or false. Now why does Imam Shafi rahmatullahi say that Alhamdulillah is neither? It's combined between khabariyya and insha'iyya. The simple reason being is that when a sentence is khabariyya, when you inform someone of something, there is always a chance of someone saying that this is true or this is false. Okay, if I say that this is the case about this, that this many people have arrived, someone can challenge that claim. Now, when Alhamdulillah is khabariyya, someone can challenge the claim, but the thing is, it's in Sha'i at the same time, according to Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi. Khair. Let's go, it's beyond that. When it says in the Quran, Alhamdulillah, all praises for Allah, then that belief in Alhamdulillah, part of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's character will be to have that yaqeen and that belief and that conviction that all praises for Allah within one's heart, without a shred of doubt within one's heart. And similarly, as we go, there are commands in the Quran that say that fear Allah, adopt taqwa, believe in Allah, perform salah. And these are amal. But other than these, anything, la tayasu min rawhillah, do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's practice would be on that. And that was his character. And hence, where it says al-birru husnul khuluq, that bir means to be dutiful, to be obedient, to be kind, to be friendly. But in a different way, it will apply in different circumstances. Every meaning will not apply in every circumstance. But good character also, good character towards Allah will be to believe in Allah's commands, to have that yaqeen and that conviction in Allah's commands, to do as Allah says. Our practice has now become limited to amal al-zahira, the outward actions of a person, of performing salah, doing hajj, giving zakah, fasting in the month of Ramadan, and other outward actions. So that is where we have restricted and limited ourselves to. But when it comes to things that are amal batina, which are even more important, just as important. In fact, Hazrat Nawarullah Marqadahu on one occasion mentioned that, and this was in Masjid Nur in Leicester, he once mentioned that we seem to sort of focus on the outward, but we don't realize that we carry so many diseases and illnesses and sins of the heart. And without realization, any realization whatsoever, we may just look at someone and feel some discomfort. We may be jealous of others. We may have enmity for others. We may have hatred for others. We may suffer from all sorts of illnesses of the heart. And yet, we won't even pay attention towards it. Pride, which is the mother of all diseases of the heart. Seldom do we realize that we have pride in our hearts. And there are many other diseases of the heart. And we focus not on those, but rather on the ones that are outward. We seem to think that we've got good character towards others and we're absolutely fine. We're performing our salah, We're fasting in the month of Ramadan. We go for Hajj. We give zakah. We're fine. And yet we don't realize that the mother of all diseases, pride, which threw shaitan out of Jannah, which made him cursed for the rest of his life and for eternity. He had pride in his heart. He worshipped Allah relentlessly. But the pride, which was the most important thing to tackle, was still in his heart. He refused to bow in front of Adam alayhi salam upon the command of Allah. So what we don't realize is that we're walking around with, in a way wherein our outward character is absolutely fine, but within, it's all rotten. And there's only one cure. There is only one cure, and that is to connect and to do bay'ah at the hands of a shaykh who then guides us, and we obey his every command. Sami'na wa ata'na is the foundation of achieving. Remember, the most important thing for anyone to change, and any change to come about within a person, is to accept what you are told. Once we accept what we are told, then only can we proceed further. Now let's assume that we have an illness. We have an illness within us, a very serious illness within us. And we go to the doctor and the doctor says, this is what your problem is. This is what your illness is. And we say, no, forget it. I don't believe anything you say. And the diagnosis that is done is a correct diagnosis. Yes, they can also misdiagnose. That can happen. But he's done the correct diagnosis. And if we refuse to accept what he says, we won't take the medication, and hence that disease will kill us from within, without us realizing. And death will eventually come to a person physically, the person will die. Similarly, when it comes to a shaykh doing the tarbiyah of an individual, then the first and foremost thing is to accept what you are told, whether you understand or whether you don't. And that is the first stage and first step of islahun nafs, correcting one's nafs, one's soul, correcting one's character, batinan. So remember that we may think that absolutely everything is fine with us, but not realize. And this could lead to us dying from within. It could lead to us dying from within without any realization. So it's extremely important. A lot of the times we seem to drift away, we seem to think our life is perfect. Why? Because we do everything that everyone else does. Our amal zahira, our outward actions are absolutely perfect. There's nothing wrong with it. We fail to realize that our amal batina, our inward situation, our character within is totally corrupt. So may Allah enable us all to do bay'ah. May Allah enable us all to benefit spiritually. And may Allah correct our character zahiran wa batinan. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahu wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.